Welcome to the Drama Teacher Podcast, brought to you by Theater Folk, the Drama Teacher Resource Company. I'm Lindsay Price. Hello, I hope you're well. Thanks for listening. This is episode 179, and you can find any links to this episode in the show notes, which are at theaterfolk.com/episode179. Today, we are talking about a great, great long-term project that you can do with an advanced class. This can take up a whole semester or even a whole year, depending on how long you have your students. The ultimate goal, I think, with a drama class is to have them move through the entire process of putting on a play, right? From audition to performance. And I know that this is something many teachers struggle with. Right? How do you encourage accountability? What if students don't listen to their peers? What do the tech students do during rehearsals? We are talking about the production classroom, and all of these questions and more are answered in today's conversation. So let's get to it. Okay, I am speaking with Karen Loftus. Hello, Karen.
Hello there.
So Karen is a longtime friend to Theater Folk. I was trying to remember when we first met. I know it was Florida, and I know it was a fake conference, and I think it was Jacksonville. Does that like ring a bell?
Maybe. Yeah, I think it was too. I do.
I think so. And I know that you had just done Circus Olympus, and I think that was the first Theater Folk play you did?
First Theater Folk play for us is we did a really great night where we did Emotional Baggage and TikTok in the same night. And we called it A Night with Few Words. And it went over really, really well.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm not sure I knew that story. I knew that you had done those plays. But Karen has been through, you had I'm going to call it an amazing journey. Because when we first met, you were a high school teacher in Florida, And now you're in New York, and you've had a variety of jobs. But your job now is from the outside, it kind of sounds a little exciting, right?
It is. I am. I'm a education production manager for Roundabout Theater Company now in New York, and I actually am managing a program where we're training. We're training students 18 to 24 in technical theater. And it's exciting because we're partnering with IATSE, International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees, the Union of Theater Technicians. And they're working with us to help train these students. And so it is. It's really exciting.
Yeah, I love that. To be able to train them, but also in a theater, they're able to, I'm assuming, like actually apply the things that they're learning in directly in production.
They are. We normally will go to downtown spaces because we are their union houses. So there's situations there, but nothing beats hands on. Nothing beats just getting right into it, you know?
Which is an amazing segue, which was not planned, but as you were talking, I'm like, hey, segue time to what we're going to talk about today. And what we're going to talk about is the production classroom and the ability for you to actually, you, the listening, I know who you are. I've met you. I know who you are. For you to be able to plan and implement and execute doing shows in your classroom, both on stage and off. Karen, how many of these did you put together in your time?
Wow. I'm a fan of the one act model in the production classroom personally. It allowed us to, utilize more students that way. But I want to say at least about 4 or 5 years of doing a fall version and a spring version with my drama 2, 3, and 4 class.
And the whole point of it was to turn everything over to your students, right? That they, yeah. Did you direct or did the students direct?
In the fall, I would direct. And in the spring, it would be original work also directed by the students.
So we're talking that students are directing, stage managing, doing the costume, doing the props, acting, marketing. All of the departments of a theater company were being, that's what was happening in your classroom, wasn't it? They basically put together a theater company.
Yeah, they did. And it was nice because it was kind of a microcosm of the way we had structured our drama department in general, where most theater drama clubs or, you know, theater programs have a president or a vice president. We had originally broken those roles down into things that mimicked a theater company. So we just took that concept and transitioned it into the classroom to produce a show within a class period.
Because I know that a lot of people listening would love to do this, and all they can see are pitfalls.
Yeah, it is. It's scary because you want to work to engage all of your students. And when you're in a rehearsal situation, you can keep many of the actors engaged and things like that. But what are you doing? You know, what's going on with your production team? What are they working on? How do you know they're working on it? You know, how do you gauge how they're doing? And that's really where a structure, procedures, and student leaders or department heads come into play. And we all know that when we give students ownership of a project, they get a little bit more excited about it because they're invested in the outcome of it. So having that strong student that you have be your production manager is a way to, you know, acknowledge their ability and also have them help you so that it isn't you having to do everything all the time.
Awesome. Let's talk about those three things, and we'll start with student leaders. Structure, procedure, and student leaders. Now, in your particular production classroom, you had a mixed class, right? We had drama 2, 3, and 4 all in the same class.
Yeah, that's correct. Mm-hmm.
So when you were looking for student leaders, and your student leaders were, as you say, they were the production manager, the stage manager, like the high ranking positions in a theater company. How did you go about deciding who was going to be in those roles?
A little bit, you know, I knew the students a little bit, not all of them. Some were transfer students or students I didn't know quite as well, but I would get to know them in the beginning of the year. I would kind of gauge it on their past work, but I would also, you know, ask the students who were leaders. You know, who did they think could lead them? Who would they listen to? Who would they trust? So that kind of student skills survey, finding out what the students themselves were interested in doing, asking them what they thought they were good at doing, and then asking them who they thought were the class leaders and getting their input on it helped with the decision making as well.
Oh, that's a really interesting thing to have at the beginning of your production classroom, right? Find out from the students what they think their skills are.
Yeah, yeah. And some, you know, some want to do certain things but may not have those skills yet. So it's important to not only just ask them, but perhaps, you know, add some questions into that survey that lets you see their drawing ability or lets you see if they understand how to, you know, draw, like understand the concept of scale right off of the bat and things like that. So you gauge by asking them for their opinion. And I think a lot of times students are really, really quite honest, to be honest with you, in these surveys. They'll tell you what they think they're good at. They'll tell you what they think their friends are good at as well. And by having that buy-in, if you know enough students are saying, we think this person would be a great production manager, you know that then you then have their, you know, kind of their consent and their agreement, and they're going to listen to that person.
Yeah, it's like they're doing the work for you instead of picking someone just because you think that they're good, like they would be suitable for the role. But by getting student feedback, I love that word. I think that whole notion of buy-in, that must be so, it must be just so important in this situation.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, you understand that with students, there are issues, personality issues, cliques and things like that. And you try to work through those, but you know that you have multiple leadership positions. It isn't like you're handing this over to one person. So, you know, I always like to make the strongest person in this situation the production manager, because that's one of the more challenging jobs. But the position of stage manager is obviously very challenging as well, as is assistant director. And, you know, those three positions provide an opportunity for multiple kids. So that way, if you're getting feedback that multiple students would be great leaders, you at least have other positions to place them in as well.
When you are putting together your departments, right? So you've got your costume department and I guess there's props and scenic and marketing. Do you deal with that as well? Like, do you have, like, is there one person in there, or are you dealing with leadership within a department as well?
Yeah, there is also going to be leadership within a department as well. In the past, we've defined that leadership more along the lines of who the designer is. But what's interesting is, even, you know, for example, the costume shop, the costume department itself, while the costume designer is in essence the leader, the other people in the department have, there are also supporting leadership positions like the costume shop manager and the wardrobe supervisor. So while the costume designer may begin as the department head, it is again shared between, you know, three people: the costume shop manager for the creation or collection of the costumes, and then the wardrobe supervisor, who kind of takes over during tech and performance.
Okay, so I really like that everybody has a job title. Right?
Yeah.
It's not just, this is the costume department, but you are the designer, you are the wardrobe supervisor, you know, everybody, do you find that that really helps, that not only are you dividing your production work up into the different departments, but that you're also dividing up roles and giving roles specific names? Does that help with students?
It does. And it, you know, it gives them that sense of pride, again, that sense of ownership, but it also teaches them how an actual theater company functions. And we discussed the fact that certain theater companies may use different terms for their roles, but they then know what their responsibilities are. And while I ask the departments to function as a department, which means they all must achieve the goals together, in the end, each person has their own set of goals that they're ultimately responsible for. Others may help them with it, but they are, when all is said and done, and if it isn't finished, you know, I would be looking to that person, like, why wasn't that completed, kind of thing.
Oh, okay. Okay. So let's stick with that for just a second, because this kind of sounds like the question that everybody has when they're talking about putting a production in your class. How do I keep, we've just talked about, how do we keep everybody engaged? So not only are everyone's divided in departments and everyone has a role, it sounds like everybody has group tasks and individual tasks to accomplish.
Yeah, definitely. And I kind of divided, it tends to fall into about three tasks per person that they're ultimately responsible for. And that they are helping each other with everything. So there's always something for someone to do, because that is the thing we kind of live in fear in, that kid that's like, I'm finished. So there's always something to do, someone to help. So, you know, for example, the costume designer, you know, they're responsible for reading the script and, you know, coming up with the design or coming up with the costume requirements. They're also the one that's going to create some type of display or vision board or, you know, in a design analysis, whereas the wardrobe supervisor is going to focus more on the quick changes, creating a quick change sheet, or organizing how they're going to organize the dressing rooms, how they're going to check costumes out and back in again. So they each have a unique thing to do. They have paperwork or some type of presentation they may have to put together. And then I think the key is to make sure that you take time for these students to share the work that they're doing with the rest of the class. And it does two things. It will allow them to share and take pride in what they're doing, but it'll also keep them on task because they'll be like, oh, I have to show something tomorrow. So by having those check-ins and those sharing moments brings the company together, but it also gives everybody specific deadlines. So not everyone's rushing at the end to try to get everything done.
Okay. So you're talking, so this kind of like, this is so smart, you know, like that it's like, it's, this is part of the procedure. And the part of the procedure is that on X rehearsal day, the costume department has to present where they are to everybody.
Exactly. They're going to present to the company, you know, where they are in their process, what they have completed so far. And that's important that they can show what they've been working on. And each department is going to have to do that multiple times throughout the process. It also, I think, also is helpful because it gives those who've been cast an appreciation for the production side of things as well. So it gives the departments a deadline. It allows them to take pride when they share. And then it allows the actors to see the amount of work that's being put in on the production side.
Awesome. Okay, let me just reiterate a couple of things. So with the production classroom, one, you want to talk to your students and, you know, kind of assess, get from them their feedback on what they think they might be good at and what they might be do, find out from them who they think their student, who they would follow as a student leader, and put those students into theater company positions of where they're, people are going to have to listen to them, like stage manager and assistant director and production manager. When you divide up your class into the different production departments, make sure everybody has not only a role title, but that they have specific tasks that they have to perform as a group, but also individually, and that throughout the rehearsal process, they should be sharing where they are with the entire class, so that there's a responsibility to getting tasks done, but also sharing and showing everybody the work that is involved on both sides of the table. Okay, so let's go back to the structure of what a production classroom might look like, you know, from the beginning. What's a first step that you would suggest teachers take in putting together a production classroom?
I think the first step would be taking, I use the silly term, production situation analysis.
Oh, that's not silly. Those are big words.
It does. It sounds so very, I don't know. But the idea is that you're just basically taking stock of your resources and your situation so that you can choose the best show for your classroom, and so that you can, you're aware of what you can do. A lot of times, you know, we tend to bite off more than we can chew. And it's the idea that you're asking yourself, how much time do I have? How can I configure my space in the best way possible for this project? Where are the students going to work within the space? How am I going to cast? You know, there's different ways. You can do one show where you divide your class up, where there are actors and there are production people. You could do 2 one-act plays where the cast of one show serves as the crew of another. And you have to figure out what's best for your students and for the amount of time that you have. So really, I think taking stock of the resources and understanding time and space that I have for the production is really the first step.
And I just, the whole notion, I think the notion of time and space is something that it's really easy to forget, right? Mm-hmm. Because like every classroom is, you know, you go, oh, I have hour 15, but do you really have an hour 15? You know, like how long does it take students to come in and sit down? How long, what's happening at the end? Are there announcements during your show or during your class period? How in terms of setting up the class? Cause determining time and space is really going to help structure how your class goes.
Yeah. Definitely. And also, you know, the kids like, they eventually are comforted by the procedures as well. They know what they're supposed to do when they enter the classroom. They know where, you know, what they're supposed to go and check the rehearsal report and take their notes, get in with their group and immediately start working. So, you know, it's great when the class starts itself. You're basically just ending the class and the class starts itself because you have a series of procedures in place and the students know what they're supposed to be doing.
So what would a typical class look like in if you have a rehearsal going for in a production classroom? What might a typical day look like?
Sure. Well, the bell would ring, and as we know, different students get to class at different times based on where they're coming from campus. The first thing the students would do is either one person from their department or multiple people would go to a place where the rehearsal report from the previous rehearsal would be posted. There's have an area in your room where that rehearsal report is posted so that everybody can see any notes that were given during the previous rehearsal. They're going to copy those notes down and then return to their group and share those notes with their group and discuss if any of those notes apply to them. Are there any changes in their area that they need to be aware of? And then the class will start with an announcement from the production manager, and then they will also ask for a group to share. They'll ask for one department to share what they've been working on that day. And once that sharing is over, then it's time for rehearsal. And it's time for the production, each production department to be working together. And that's when I normally have the production manager go from group to group and check in with them and make sure that they have everything that they need, that they're staying on task, answering any questions for them, that kind of thing. And then it's basically work for the remainder of the class period until about 5 minutes at the end of class. It's chance for a department to ask a question of the director, to make any end of the day announcements, end of the rehearsal announcements. It's a time for the stage manager to announce what they're going to be working on the next day. And then the director will release the class after the bell rings. So there's kind of a meeting at the beginning and a meeting at the end that each have specific purpose, and then work time in between those two meetings.
It sounds, A, very professional, and B, ordered. And I think very structured and with very set, you know, there is the class begins the same way as a drama class should, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's you're starting with a warm-up or you're starting with a journal, you know, here it's just like, we start by reading the rehearsal report. You know, we start with the meeting, a company meeting, I guess, eh? And then we end with another meeting. Mm-hmm. It's an introduction to the real world where all you're doing is going to meetings and
Yep. No, it's great because it is that chance that, because you as the teacher are going to be asking yourself, what are they doing? Because you've got to focus on directing. You know, eventually, once my students were strong enough and they were directing their own work, it was great because then I had a different role in the production classroom where I could walk around with the production manager as well. But in those initial production classrooms where I'm directing, it allowed me to focus. And it allowed me to focus on the directing itself. And I knew that my production team, they were back there, you know, and I say back there because they're normally behind me in my classroom. They're back there working and getting some stuff done.
And I think that is the thing to really hit home, that if you want to do this, that the procedures are going to be your friend. It can't be chaos, because like if the production side is, if they don't know what they're doing, if they don't know what their task is, if they're being loud, then that rehearsal can't happen the way it's supposed to happen.
Exactly. Yeah, definitely. And you know, and if you feel that your class might not be ready for this, this could be a spring project. And it could be something that you introduce to them slowly in the first semester, where you teach them about what the costume department does, you know, review if it's something they've already had, teach them a little bit about each of the departments and go through it with them as part of your curriculum, and then go ahead and incorporate it in a spring spring production classroom, I had a luxury where I trained my Drama 1 students, and they had exposure to all these different areas and learned who what these roles were. So then when they moved into Drama 2, 3, and 4, I wasn't having to take time to teach them exactly what a wardrobe supervisor does. They had some ideas and some notions. And they're going to have to meet you halfway and maybe do a little bit of their own research as well into what a wardrobe supervisor typically does. But by giving them specific tasks, they at least know what they're responsible for.
Yeah. And I think that is the bottom line here, is that running a theater company is a responsibility. And that it is something that is serious, and it is something that is it's work.
Yeah, it is, and another great way to share it is through the marketing department. The marketing department in the production classroom can be promoting your show, but it could also be promoting the work that you're. Class is doing as well. And that's a great way to bring everybody together, as well as to share with the parents what their students have been doing in class. So the marketing department can help kind of present the company as a whole, as well as come see the show. They can, different ways to display the work that's being done in the production classroom.
Yeah, what's something that, because I guess like they can like put together a marketing plan. What's a good example of a task that a marketing department could do to showcase the what's going on?
One of the things that is really fun for the students to do, because they're all into making videos, is to make kind of a short documentary about the process. And that's another way to kind of keep your production departments on track, because they know they're going to have to present something for this video. And the marketing department would be in charge of interviewing the different departments about what they're working on for the show, shooting some footage, if possible, of rehearsal, and then putting together editing a documentary that can be either shared or displayed in the lobby. But that sort of tells the story of how the whole production department came together.
I think that's awesome. What a great idea. Okay, so as we are wrapping up here, what was your biggest challenge, or what was the biggest pitfall that you had to deal with
I think there's there's kind of a pitfall in each area. Some years your leaders might not be as strong as you need them to be. So that just requires a little bit more outside of time class with you and the leader, and also really mentoring them a little more so than you may have to other students. And also making sure that you give your students techniques to help solve their own disputes, practice active listening, giving them kind of a procedure to sort of have a grievance if there's a problem going on. Have a way for the students to discuss it and share their concerns and then solve the problem on their own.
What's active listening?
Active listening, I like to think of it as we tend very much to listen to respond. We don't necessarily listen to hear, especially if we're affected emotionally by what's going on at the time. So active listening is just a technique where you sit down with another person and you listen to them, and then you respond back to them with what you heard. And you say something along the lines of, so what I heard was, this is how you're thinking, feeling. And then that person will either confirm that that's what they meant, or they'll clarify what they meant. And it goes back and forth from partner to partner, so that you have to be able to summarize what you just heard. And sometimes a lot of conflict arises purely because we truly aren't listening to each other. And by the end, you start to become more empathetic with the person you're listening to, and the two of you are able to start to come up with a plan to hopefully to solve the dilemma.
I bet it really diffuses anger too, because that's a lot of work to, instead of waiting to just lash out at someone, you have to listen and then reiterate. And then like, there's a lot of steps in between before you get to say what you want to say.
Yeah, it's true. And you know, it can be frustrating, but it does help to calm them down. And it does help when you know that someone is actually listening to a point where they can summarize what you said, you feel appreciated that someone's listening to you.
So I think we're going to add that as another layer of what's going to make the production classroom successful, and that is communication.
Yes.
Listening and communication with structure and procedures and student leaders. I think those seem to me the highlights of the production classroom. Are there any of that I'm missing?
No, I think, you know, communication is key, and we work very hard as theater teachers to create a sense of ensemble, and that ensemble can reach beyond the cast. That ensemble can include the entire company.
Awesome. Absolutely. Okay. I'm so glad that we were able to kind of just give a little taste into what could happen in a production classroom. Thanks for talking to me today.
Oh, sure. No problem. My pleasure.
Thank you, Karen. Karen has been a longtime friend to Theater Folk, definitely an early adopter, and it is always great to talk to her. She's also put together a number of great courses for our Drama Teacher Academy, one of which being is the Production Classroom. And you can learn more at dramateacheracademy.com or click the link in the show notes, which are at theaterfolk.com/episode179. Before we go, let's do some Theater Folk news. It's a play feature. It's a play feature. It's time to feature a play. It's a new play, and you are going to want to snap it up quick. Well, I'm talking about The Perils of Modern Education by Matt Webster. Oh, the perils of modern education are so many. You know what I'm talking about. Standardized theater tests that call for the exact number of steps in a scene. Trying to eat green in the cafeteria. Dealing with caffeine withdrawal. Giving Shakespeare advice on his college application essay. That's right. Shakespeare. Spoiler alert, Willie is not college material. So this play is a awesome vignette play. It has really poignant and vibrant scenes, gender flexible casting, lots of doubling up possibilities, easy staging. It is drop dead funny. Go to theaterfolk.com, get your copy today, and you can also find the link in the show notes. This is the most number of times I've mentioned links to the show notes. theaterfolk.com/episode179. Are you doing one of our plays? Take a picture, send it to us. Working on a monologue? You know what I want to say. Take a picture, send it to us. Send us video, 30 seconds. Show us what you're doing in rehearsal, in the classroom. We want to showcase you. We want to brag about what you do. Send it to us, tfolk@theaterfolk.com. And finally, where oh where can you find this podcast? We post new episodes every second Tuesday at theaterfolk.com and on our Facebook page and Twitter. You can find us on youtube.com/theaterfolk and on the Stitcher app. You can subscribe to the Drama Teacher Podcast on iTunes. All you have to do is search for the word Theater Folk. And that's where we're going to end. Take care, my friends. Take care.